Hey, if you have a Bible, I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. That's where we're going to begin the message today. While you're turning there, let me remind you that we're having a four-week semester of groups beginning July 5th. And our vision is that everybody be part of a group, everybody stays connected to the body of Christ, and so be looking for those things that are coming up. If you'd like to lead a group, some training is happening as well, so be looking for that. And then First Wednesday is a week from this Wednesday, Wednesday, July 1st. We're going to go outside again. The last First Wednesday for June was fantastic. We're going to go outside again, and we're going to worship, except we're going to start at 8 o'clock. And you say, why are we starting at 8 o'clock? Well, because afterwards we're going to have some fireworks. The Mad Bomber is coming back, all right? And we're going to have a great, great time. Now, let me remind you that the 3 days leading up to First Wednesday is fasting and prayer. Not quite the same reaction as the fireworks, but how many know that's what we need to be doing? Amen, everybody? And next Sunday is going to be a great Sunday. Pastor Allison, our children's pastor, is going to be sharing a message, 13 Reasons for Hope. A lot of you have heard of the show on Netflix, 13 Reasons Why, which has really popularized the idea of suicide, especially among young people. And so Allison's got a great message about hope next Sunday, and it's going to be powerful. So I want you to join with us if you would. I heard a great illustration from Pastor Tony Evans earlier in the week. He said years ago in Europe, one of the ways that scientists would test to see if someone was insane in their sanitariums was to put the person in a closet that had a sink in it. They would plug the sink, turn the water on, and let the sink overflow with water. Then they would give the patient a mop with these instructions: clean up the mess. Then they would leave the patient in the room and come back in a few minutes to check on the patient. Now, if when they came back to see if the person, they were checking to see if they had grown in their sanity. So when they came back into the room to check on the patient, if they came back and the person was mopping the water, but the water was still running and the stopper was still in the sink, they knew they were still crazy. It's all right to laugh. I was hoping you would laugh at that point. They were testing to see if the person had the capacity to deal with the root of the problem. See, if they were mopping the water, but they didn't turn off the water or unplug the sink, they were simply mopping up the mess, but they weren't dealing with the cause of the mess. How many are with me today? Today, we're in a mess. Our country is in a mess. And all of us have to decide, are we going to mop up the symptoms of the problem, or are we going to deal with the root of it? Because right now, we're dealing with all kinds of problems. We've got a viral pandemic. I think there's a cultural pandemic. There's economic crisis. There's lawlessness in some cities. We have racism. There's fear. But can I tell you that all these pandemics are just symptoms of the real problem? Because the root of the problem is the spiritual pandemic that is currently happening. Amen. Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you that we have walked far away from God, His laws, and His love. We've rejected God's value system as a nation, and we've created our own value system for what's right and what's wrong. God is no longer our standard. We are. And we've come up with our own standards for how we treat each other. And by the way, my rights and my opinions are more important than yours. You see, everyone is talking about which mop will solve the problem. People argue on social media about which mop is better. But the problem is not the mop. If we don't get to the root of the problem, it doesn't matter how many mops we use or how hard we are working at mopping, we're not going to fix the problem. You could elect a new mop. You could insist that the old mop system be done away with, and we'll still have the problem. So how about instead of just mopping up the symptoms, how about we unplug the sink and deal with the real problem? Now, let me stop right there for a second and just remind you that I love you. And as your pastor, my job is to speak the truth in love. I hope there's no pastor's job is to win a popularity contest, because I can tell you that in the summer of 2020, that is now impossible. But my job is to tell you the truth, and I'm going to tell you in love. I think this is God's message for us. You say, Pastor, how do we unplug the sink? Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If you know this verse, read it out loud with me if you would. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We've talked about humility. We've talked about prayer. We're fasting and praying. Amen? But today I want to focus on this word right here, this word, turn. That's the title of the message today, is turn. See, I think what we are realizing and what we should realize is that the solution to the problem is turning from our wicked ways. That word for turning is a word that we call repentance. I think that repentance is the key to everything that's going on. COVID-19, racism, fear, the economy. You see, all of those things are simply symptoms of the real problem. The real problem is you. It's me. The real problem is us. We want to blame everybody else. We want to argue our position, and yet the problem is us. I think repentance is the only thing that's going to unplug the drain and get us out of the mess that we're in. Repentance is our only hope. And I'm talking about personal repentance today. I think every single one of us has to personally repent for what's going on in our lives. I can't repent for you. You can't repent for me. We all have to come to the altar of the Lord and say, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in my life, in my heart, my attitude, my spirit. Now, I want to assure you that I was taken to the woodshed first before I could preach this message. But today, this is what we need to hear. Okay, Pastor, how do we repent? Well, the Bible word for repentance is the word turn. I'm not talking about feeling bad for sin. I'm not talking about being condemned or feeling condemned for sin. I'm talking about repentance is not just, well, I really feel really bad or I feel guilty. Pastor, you're just trying to make us feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. There's a difference between repentance and feeling guilty. I'm talking about changing the way you think. I'm talking about, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do the opposite of that. I'm not going to walk this way anymore. I'm going to turn and start doing something different. We look around, and all around us, the floor is all wet, and we're being flooded with problem after problem. And so the overflowing water is telling us that something is wrong. Something's not right. The Bible says the key is to turn. So let me flesh this out just a little bit. Here's what I think God's telling us, some of the things we need to turn. We need to turn from assuming to appreciating. Before 2020, we assumed a lot. We assumed there would be toilet paper at the store. We assumed there would be food at the store, every food that we ever wanted, just like always. I assumed I could go to restaurants whenever I wanted to. I assumed that I could just go and do whatever whenever I wanted. I assumed church. You know, if I miss a Sunday, no big deal. If I miss a few Sundays, no big deal. They'll always be there. Really? You and I have assumed some things. But how many know that was before 2020? What I like to call affectionately the decade of 2020, and it's only been 6 months. Come on, somebody. See, now I think we've understood that we shouldn't assume so much. And I think instead of assuming, how about we turn that to appreciating? Because we take the blessings of God for granted, especially in this country. You are blessed. I said you are blessed. You and I are blessed. And this is important because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the marks of the last days, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read it. Verse 2. The last days, the Bible says, in the last days, everything's going to be peachy king. You know, we're just going to have a great time. Everybody's going to love each other. There'll be this utopia that is created, and then Jesus is going to come back. As much as we want that to say that, that's not what it says. In the last days, there will be very difficult times. Welcome to 2020. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud. They'll scoff at God. They'll be disobedient to their parents. And look what made the list. Ungrateful. Ingratitude is so bad, it made the list of how bad the last days are going to be. We're going to be ungrateful. I'm trying to tell you that we need to repent for being ungrateful. It's so bad, it makes the list of the last day's bad stuff. Ingratitude is the spirit of Antichrist. Study the origin of Lucifer. It was his lack of gratitude. Come on, somebody. One of the ways that I think we know we're ungrateful is how much we complain. We complain in this country a lot. And it's a sin. So how about we turn from assuming to appreciating? How about we turn our complaining into gratitude? Right? How about we turn our complaining into thanksgiving? How about we turn our problems into praise? Thank you, God, for toilet paper. Thank you for chicken in the meat section. Thank you for the people at the meat processing plant that make that chicken show up at the grocery store because I never thought about them a day before in my life. Thank you for teachers, and all the parents said amen. Thank you for the police officers and the first responders. Thank you for the internet. Thank you for Wi-Fi. Imagine if this had happened before all of that. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for hope. Thank you for my family. I'm trying to tell you that gratitude turns what I have into enough. See, one of the things, I've had the privilege the last several years to travel much of the world. I've been to Central America. I've been to Africa. I've been to Asia. I've been to a lot of different places. And there's something I've noticed. Number one, we're blessed in America. But everywhere I go, and especially when I see the poor, you'll see kids in these very poor countries. They might have a little ball that is totally worn out, you know, and they're making these throw-together soccer goals and things like that. You know what I see? Happiness. I see a lot of joy. They have nothing compared to me and you, and yet there is happiness and there's gratitude. Would to God that we would restore the spirit of thanksgiving into our hearts and to our lives, things would begin to change. So how about we do it right now? Would you? Let's give God thanks right now. Come on, just begin to thank God where you're at. Thank him for every good thing in your life. Thank you. Thank him for every blessing that you have. You may be walking through problems. You may be going through valleys right now. Yes, we acknowledge that. We're not ignoring that. But through it all, he's with us. Amen. He's walking with me. Come on, there's breakthrough in this moment if you'll just choose to turn from assuming to appreciating. Come on, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for every good thing in my life. God, I thank you that even through all of this, you're making me better. You're making me stronger, God. I thank you that you're turning evil for good. We thank you, Lord. Come on, we thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Come on, there's breakthrough if you'll just choose to press through this. All my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been so good. I want to sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the goodness.
Come on, sing it again. Something will happen if you open your mouth right now. Instead of complaining.
All my life you have been faithful.
You're a good God. Come on, somebody.
All my life you have
the atmosphere
been
is changing right now. Just because of the power of Thanksgiving.
Every breath. I will sing of the goodness.
Would you do it one more time?
All my life,
God. Thank you for every good thing.
All my life, you have been faithful.
You bless me, Lord. You bless me, God. God, you've been so good.
All my life, you have been so, so
you thank him for your dad. Come on, thank him for your dad. I'm talking about your physical earth dad. Thank you for my dad. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's turn from assuming to appreciating. And secondly, I think we need to turn from the fear of man to the fear of God. I think the reason we don't repent is because we don't fear God. We don't fear judgment because we've painted God as this great big Santa Claus in the sky who only does good stuff for us. And his number one aim in life is to give us whatever we want. Because of that, we're not afraid of God. There's no fear of the Lord in our hearts. There's a story in the Old Testament about King Asa, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. He's a king and stuff's not going good in Israel. There's all kinds of difficulty happening and a prophet comes to him and he says this. He says, "The Lord is with you, King Asa, when you're with him." How many know that's a conditional promise? The Lord's with you when you're with him, and if you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In these days, it wasn't safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. That's hard to read, isn't it? See, I'm sure they were blaming the politicians. I'm sure they were blaming King Asa. They were probably blaming their enemies. But the prophet says, no, it was God that's troubling you. God is the one that is bringing trouble into your life. Now, during this time of national difficulty, God was their problem. And I love what Tony Evans says about this. He says, if God is your problem, then only God is your solution. If he's the one allowing it, then we need to turn to him to fix the problem. Well, Pastor, how do we do that? Well, we do what Asa did in response to this prophet's message. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. What did he do? He repented. The nation was going this way. They were serving idols. They were following idols. He says, I don't want to go that way anymore. So he tore down all of the idols. He says, now we're going to repair the altar of the Lord. We're going to serve the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. That's called repentance. And you say, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. You know, God was an angry God in the Old Testament. Somehow he got saved in the New Testament. So let me use a New Testament illustration about judgment. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the wrath of God coming upon the world. Now, and the wrath of God is not described in Romans chapter 1 as fire from heaven, but three times in Romans chapter 1, Paul says that God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. I'm trying to tell you that one of the ways that God's wrath is made manifest in our lives is by giving us over to our consequences and our choices. See, I think when God gives us over, he is removing his restraint from evil. And God is in essence saying, let them have their way. Because you and I continue to insist on having what we want, and there will be a time in God's wrath that he will say, okay, and he'll remove his restraint. I'm trying to tell you that we can decide if we're going to sin, but we can't decide the consequences. God didn't stop Adam from eating the fruit, and Adam chose to eat it, and the consequences were deadly. See, I think what's happening right now is we are seeing a removal of divine restraint in our culture. People talk about God, but they're not talking about the God of the Bible. If they were talking about the one true God, they would be talking about his standard, which is holiness. They would be talking about his power and his love. See, the true God is being removed from our culture. And it's being replaced with a God of religion. It's like a flat tire. We want God there in case there's an emergency. But if everything's okay, we'll just kind of keep him in the trunk away from everybody else. Our prayer should be, God, turn us from the fear of man back to the fear of God. I read a story back in the 90s. There was a famous television evangelist who was in prison. Many of you remember the name Jim Baker. Jim Baker had the largest television, Christian television network in the whole world, but he got caught up in adultery and fraud, and as a result, he went to prison. John Bevere, many of you will know that name, a Christian author and speaker, goes to visit Jim Baker while he's in prison. And after he talked a while, here's what this is John's summary of the conversation. He said, I wanted to ask Jim some questions. So the first question I asked him, I said, Jim, when did you fall out of love with Jesus? When did you stop loving Jesus? Was it when you committed adultery with Jessica Hahn 7 years before you were put in prison? Was it the wire fraud? When did it really happen? He says, because I remember you were so on fire for God in your earlier years. Jim looks at me and says, John, I didn't. I said, what do you mean you didn't? He said, I didn't fall out of love with Jesus. I loved him all the way through it. And then he saw a total bewilderment on my face. I said, what do you mean? He said, John, I love Jesus, but I didn't fear God. Is that us? I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but we don't fear God. If we're going to fix this problem, we got to turn from the fear of man to the fear of God. Last one. We got to turn from being lukewarm to being hot. Romans chapter 3, Jesus speaks to the church. He says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so then because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, pardon me for the crassness of this illustration, but remember, it's in the Bible. When was the last time you vomited? Now, what happens when we vomit is God has created the human body in such a way that if there's toxins or like a bug or something in something bad in our stomachs, after a while, your body will regurgitate. It will just vomit it up. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life that after I vomited, I felt better. Right? Matter of fact, sometimes I'm like, this is hurry up, get it over with. Now, when you vomit, it's nasty, it stinks, it makes a mess, it burns a little bit. But many times the result after is that we feel better. Why? Because we got the toxins out of our body. We got the junk out of our systems. See, I think what's happening right now is that we've got all these toxins in our culture. We've got these toxins in our lives. Racism, injustice, hate, pride, selfishness. And what we have is this multiplicity of toxins that are all coagulating in us. And it's like this. And the reason is because we're lukewarm. And what happens is we need to vomit. We need to get it out. We need to rid it from ourselves. Now, when we do, it's messy. It stinks. But afterwards, we'll feel better. You see, God said, lukewarm, vomit. If we're lukewarm, we need to vomit. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about, being lukewarm? I'm talking about some of us tolerating sin instead of hating it. Some of you have started drinking alcohol during the quarantine. You didn't do it before, but now you are. And you're offended at me for even bringing it up. You've been watching pornography. Did you know during the quarantine, many pornographic sites made all of their resources free? The music that you've been listening to it's not good. It dishonors authority. It dishonors women. It's unholy. Now, this is Wayne talking. This is not from the Bible, but my personal opinion that the best indicator of a person's spiritual life is the music that they are listening to. Some of you have been watching stuff on TV and Netflix that you would have never watched before. Your standards are lowering. Your language is more loose than it's ever been. Words come out of your mouth. If you were a kid, they would have washed your mouth out with soap. And now you just let it go. You gossip about people. You tear them down. Before, when you did that, you would feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There was this And the reason why is because when we tear other people down and we gossip and we kill them with our words, that grieves the Holy Spirit. But now you do it all the time. And you hardly feel the anymore. You're angry, and you let people know it. It's coming out on social media. You're not patient with people. You're quick to judge. You're more loyal to your political persuasion than you are to the Word of God. You don't read the Bible much. You don't pray very much. You're more interested in sharing your opinion, your position on social media than you are concerned for the people on social media who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ so they can be saved. Because if they don't get saved, they will die and go to hell. But that doesn't matter to you. You're lukewarm. And the only way to stop being lukewarm is this. Here's what Jesus said to the church in Revelation. He goes, my advice to you, if you're lukewarm, is fire. The solution is fire. The solution for being lukewarm is heat. Because when it gets hot, it gets uncomfortable. And perhaps the reason your life is so uncomfortable right now is because you're lukewarm. And God is turning up the heat in your life. He's turning up the heat in all of our lives. Because we're lukewarm, and he's trying to get us to change. He doesn't want you to go back to normal. He doesn't want you to go back to the way you were. He wants you to get it out. He wants you to repent. He wants you to get the junk out, the toxins out of your spirit. And God's bringing the heat. Ephesians chapter 5 says that God's going to present himself a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle. Now, I don't know when the last time you ironed your clothes, but there's this thing called an iron. Now, if I put a cold iron on my clothes, is that going to get the wrinkles out? No. In order to get the wrinkles out, I got to have some heat in that thing. You see, what God's doing, he's turning up the heat. He wants the wrinkles out of his church. He wants the wrinkles out of you and me. Now, we don't like it. It's very uncomfortable. But the reason is us. Amen, everybody? I want you to take a minute or two, perhaps longer. And I'd like to ask everybody online, everybody here in this room, I want you to really lean in right now and ask yourself, how am I going to respond to this message? What is God saying to me? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to me about? What is the Holy Spirit convicting me about? Because he can convict you all day long, but unless we actually turn, nothing's going to change. So right where we're at, we're just beginning to talk to the Lord about this message. Would you? If you're watching online, wherever you're at, talk to the Lord about this message. If the Holy Spirit has convicted you, he's brought some things to mind. Perhaps I mentioned them, perhaps I didn't at all. But you just feel that from the Holy Spirit. I want you to talk to him about him. What do I need to turn away from? And what do I need to turn toward? What toxins need to be purged from my life? Now's not the time to make excuses. Now's not the time to blame other people. To confess your sin simply means, God, I'm agreeing with you. Yes, God, I agree. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'm lukewarm. Forgive me. Show me what it means to turn from my wicked ways and turn to you with all my heart. Come on, right where you're at. Take a few minutes. Make it your personal altar right where you're at. Talk to Jesus.
Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our eyes. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not give us pure hearts.
bowed, eyes are closed. How many would be honest before God and say, this message, God's message, personal repentance is for me. My heart, God's convicted me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me about things that I need to repent from. Would you respond by raising your hand? I'm raising both my hands. Come on, raise your hands. God's speaking to me about things I need to repent from. If your hand is raised, would you stand to your feet? Come on, take a stand for repentance. Take a stand. I'm not going to stay the same. I'm not going to keep going the way I've been going. I'm going to turn. I'm going to turn. Come on, make a commitment to Jesus. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Help me to turn. Show me what to do. Show me how to be different, how to walk different, how to live differently than everybody else. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I pray for courage for every man, woman, student, and child that's with us here today watching online. God, to reject the spirit of this age and to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ. God, we want to be holy. We want to be without spot or wrinkle. And God, we certainly don't want to be lukewarm. So we invite your spirit to convict us. We invite your spirit to help us to walk with clean hands and pure hearts. Help us, God, to do it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much, church, for receiving this message. Very uncomfortable, but needed. Amen. And so this is what we need right now. Amen. So please know I love you. I prayed a little extra harder for you this week because the Lord keeps giving these messages. I'm like, that's a tough one, Jesus. You know, but this is the time to speak straight and speak in love. Amen. And so we're committed to doing that because God's truth is what sets us free. Amen. So happy Father's Day to everybody, all the dads. Thank you for being awesome. Every man, we have a gift for you on the way out. And so until we see you next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you very much. God bless you.